to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 29. St. John chapter 1. One of the most dominating themes in the whole Bible, throughout the Bible, is this subject that I'm going to bring to your attention this morning. It's one of the things that not only dominates the Old Testament, but also we find dominating a great portion of the book of Revelation. I think about 29 times do you find the word the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And as John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing there at the River of Jordan, we find in these particular passages of Scripture that Jesus Christ appeared. When John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Notice, as I begin reading in verse 29, "The next day, John, seeing Jesus, cometh unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Not only is it a dominating theme throughout the Bible, but I contend that it's something that prevails among us in our songs. You might have noticed in the song service, many of the verses that we sang to the songs had that same clause, that same expression in them. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood, power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. But there's something that I want us to notice that John the Baptist said concerning him. He said that he would come and take away the sin of the world. Now, as we look at these particular passages of Scripture and the preaching of John, it's a very brief message, isn't it? He briefly but very accurately told his followers and told those that were with him on that particular occasion with great confidence, with great emphasis, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. But there's been something asked of each one of us to do in this particular passage of Scripture. Actually, it's not only asked of you that are lost, but I believe also as we read the second place where John the Baptist was with disciples, people that were already saved, he said unto them also, Behold the Lamb of God. Not only when we're saved by the grace of God do we need to continue to behold the Lamb of God, but those of you that are lost today need to behold the Lamb of God. One of the problems that has occurred with most Christians, and many times when we fall into disappointment or despair or melancholy, it's because we've taken our eyes off Jesus. And John here said not only to those that were probably within his congregation or those that were following him that were lost, that they need to trust or look to the Lamb of God, but he also said to his disciples, there needs to be a continuous looking to Jesus. I believe if we could keep our eyes on Jesus, we would be a lot better Christians than what we are. I believe the times that we take our eyes off Jesus are the times that we fall into sin, times that we fall into snare, times when we get cold and indifferent, times when the church is not where it needs to be, it's because we are failing to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I would tell you, like John the Baptist told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. From the very beginning, the world was in want of a lamb. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. You know why his sacrifice was acceptable? Because he offered up a lamb. That pleased God and also typified the true lamb, which is Jesus, who would be offered up for the sins of the world. I've often thought about Abraham and Isaac, and as they were walking up Mount Moriah, and Isaac, you know, being the typical boy that he was, he says, Dad, here's the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb? And John the Baptist answered the question of Isaac when he asked his father Abraham as they were walking up Mount Moriah, Dad, where is the Lamb? I'm telling you where the Lamb is. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The world was in want of a Lamb. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, I believe it means that the world is in sin. We're in need of a substitutionary atonement for sin. My friend, you're in need of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Not only to get saved, but to stay saved. The only thing that sustains us and keeps us in the will of God and in the favors of God is the Lamb of God. The greatest need of this world is the Lamb. You know, as I was meditating upon these passages of Scripture, I thought of why we need a Lamb. Well, we need a Lamb because the world's lost. My friend, you're lost. You're guilty of sin. You have transgressed the law of God. You are condemned. If you have not sensed the condemnation of sin, you're still a sinner. Amen. Whether you ever feel conviction or not, you're still lost. When you reach the time you're accountable for your sins, you are accountable unto God. Amen. I know there's a lot of people that say, well, I don't particularly feel lost. Well, if you don't feel lost, you're still lost. Amen? The world is lost. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. You are lost, ruined sinner. Your soul is lost. Every soul in the world is condemned and on its way to hell. But Jesus Christ came and He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not just the Jews. I'll tell you why He was a substitutionary atonement for the sins of the whole world. It's because the whole world is lost and needs to be saved. The whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible says. And let me say this, one of the surest signs of your evilness is rejecting the Son of God. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 verse 20, Jesus made it very clear. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This is the surest sign that your heart is not right in the sight of God, is rejecting the love of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But He went a little further and He said, they will not come to the light. And this shows us, this declares that their deeds are evil. My friend, when you don't get your sins taken care of through the blood of Jesus, it declares openly, it professes not only to yourself, but to the whole world and everyone around you that your deeds are evil. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God. I contend that also those of us that have been saved, when we refuse to get our transgressions, and yes, we do transgress the law after we get saved, amen,
when we refuse to get them under the blood, when we are obstinate, when we reject the sacrificial death of Jesus to atone for our sins after we're saved, it's declaring that our deeds are evil. People today, they want to go another route. Listen, there's only one way to get your sins taken care of, and that's to repent of them. To trust in Jesus to forgive you of them. Have you ever went to the cross and not received forgiveness? It doesn't happen, does it? Oh, if you really go to the cross, you remember how you got there? Huh? Some have forgotten how we got to the cross. Man, listen, we've got to go back, don't we? Amen? Yes. Yes, occasionally we go back. Every sin that we commit is tragic. There's ruin in it. There's hell in it. Satan is the source of it. And every time we are involved in it, we have sided with the enemies of God. Oh, that we had the conviction of sin like the Scriptures teach. Oh, that we realized how tragic sin is. How filthy it is. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and 6 that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That we would realize, like it says in Jeremiah 17 and 9, that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Before long, your heart and your mind will go so contrary to God that you will actually be a contempt of His love. You will be an upbraiding of His providence. You will be scoffing at His providence. You will be a reproach of His wisdom. I believe if you stay in your sins, if you don't get them taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll pay for them. Amen. Now let me talk to those of you, especially, who have never found forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That you would listen to John the Baptist. I don't think there's any greater man outside of Jesus Christ than John. Jesus himself said so. No greater man born a woman than John the Baptist. Jesus said, yeah. And so we ought to listen to this man and his preaching. You may this morning have looked in the mirror and think, well, I look okay. I look fine. But God looks upon the heart. Amen. Amen. Yes, He doesn't look upon the outward appearance. That was told clearly to Samuel that God doesn't look upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. You can read Isaiah 1 and 6 what He actually sees as He looks upon your heart. He actually sees you as wounds. He sees you as a putrid sore, a sore with pus in it. He looks upon you and He sees that there's no soundness in you, that from the sole of your feet to the top of your head, He said there's no soundness in it. In other words, your soul is an unfit habitation for a holy God. Oh, that we would realize that the only way God can indwell us and fill us and be with us is for us to be under the crimson flow. Oh, that we would realize that it requires the blood of Jesus to remove our sins. You know, sin is like anything else. It can't be at two places at one time. You guys are all here this morning, but you're not at home, right? I'm sure we have some members at home that aren't here. But they're not in both places, right? They're either at home or they're in church. And your sin is the same way. It's either up on you or it's up on Christ. It's either up on Christ or it's on you. Amen? And what I want to encourage you to do, especially those of you this morning that realize that it's up on you. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, if He can take away the sin of the whole world, He can deal with your sins. He can deal with your transgressions. When you start analyzing yourself, when you think about what your life really is, what you've been thinking about, if you survey your life, your thoughts, your words, your actions, what you've been pursuing, what's been ruling your conduct. Is it the maximums of men or is it the Word of God? Are you concerned only about yourself or are you concerned about the glory of God in Christ Jesus? What are your strongest desires? Are you striving to please God? Are you? Let's evaluate our hearts this morning. Listen, save people, all right? Save people when they are under the crimson flow will be pleasing God.
Amen.
Amen. they'll be glorifying God in Christ Jesus. Amen. They'll be filled with His joy and His peace and His love. All of those fruits of the Spirit the Bible talks about. They'll be sowing those seeds of joy and peace and long-suffering. It'll be in their hearts. It'll be in their lives. It'll be upon their minds, in their affections. It'll be their desires. When they're not in the will of God, they'll be more self-centered than most sinners of the world. And you know what I want to tell you this morning? If you're a backslider, oh come on, y'all looking at me like you don't know what a backslider is. Huh? I want to tell you this morning, behold the Lamb of God. Just like John the Baptist told his disciples when he was walking with him, he says, behold the Lamb of God. You need to behold the Lamb of God. There's a cleansing that comes. We've realized our forgiveness is in Christ and we continue to go back there. Some of you, however, you've never had your affections on the things of God. You've never been saved. Your desire has always been for yourself and what you can get and what you want. It's always been you and the world. And your goal has never been to glorify God. I'll tell you what your problem is this morning. You are so full of sin. Sin is best defined as selfishness. It's putting self before God. You read every one of the Ten Commandments. And every one of the Ten Commandments, every one of those transgressions can be clearly and easily defined as self in the place of God. I want to encourage you that are lost this morning. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist, on two occasions, two different messages, on two different days, he preached, behold the Lamb of God, perhaps to two different kinds of people, those that were saved and those that were lost. Sin is the problem. And when we realize we need the forgiveness of sin, what we need to do is behold the Lamb. Jesus must be the object of our faith. We will never experience cleansing till we get to Jesus. Amen? Look in Proverbs 30 and 12. Proverbs 30 and 12 explains or describes a particular generation. It says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Look at this passage. There's a generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Under Jewish law, the Jews, anytime they transgressed the law, would have to offer up a sacrifice. Actually, they would have a morning and evening sacrifice for the sins of the people. It was a very violent ordeal. They would bring a lamb without spot and without blemish. I believe it symbolized the pure life of Jesus. Amen. They would bring it in there before the priest, and they would, in essence, in a symbolic manner, they would transfer their sins or their offenses to this little helpless innocent lamb. A knife would be taken, and the lamb's head would be held, and the lamb's throat would be cut, and blood would pour out into a basin. Now, I believe they realized in the Old Testament that there needed to be a sacrifice for every sin. It's something that we're failing to recognize. Every transgression required a sacrifice. And when they offer that sacrifice, I think they realized that forgiveness of sin was connected in some way with the sacrificial offering. Well, Jesus is the true Lamb of God. And with every sin that we commit, listen to me, every sin on the face of the whole wide world, the only way that sin can be atoned for and forgiven of is through the death of Jesus Christ. When He hung on that cross and He shed His precious blood, Peter said that He in Himself bare our sins in His own body. I want you to know that the sins that we commit, they were borne by Jesus when He hung on the cross. And this morning as we look back by faith, may He be your object of faith. May you look to the Lamb of God. My friend, too many times we are praying and we're asking God to forgive us and we're not looking to the thing, the source, the means by which our sins are atoned for. I'll tell you what we're doing many times. We're not looking to Jesus. See, John said, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb." Calling on the people to look to Jesus. But too many times, we don't, and sinners especially, they're not looking to the Lamb of God. They're looking at themselves. Too many times, they're focusing on themselves. Quit beholding yourself and behold the Lamb of God. Many times people are examining themselves. And I notice this especially of our children. Listen to me. Too many times our children are looking at themselves. They're saying, "I'm not troubled enough." They're saying, "Am I lost or am I saved? Am I under conviction?" They're looking at themselves and they're saying, "Well, I feel this way, I think this way, I might be, I might not be." You need to behold the Lamb. No one has ever been saved by looking at themselves. The only way you can get saved is to look to Jesus Christ. I mean, if you were cold, all right? And you looked into a refrigerator, would that warm you up? Huh? No. If you were thirsty and you looked into an empty glass, would that quench your thirst? No. But if you will look to Jesus Christ, you will find the forgiveness of sin, because for the forgiveness of sin is found in Jesus Christ alone. God gave that to me, and I hope it helps some of our young people that are searching for forgiveness. You won't find it inside yourself. Amen. Amen. If you're looking to have a tender enough heart to be saved, you'll never get saved. You need to come to Jesus asking Him to change your heart. Recognizing that you're the offscourge of creation. That without His blood being applied to your heart, you have no hope. The Passover lamb. Moses was instructed to take a lamb. 1 year. One without spot and blemish. And to take that lamb and to cut its throat and apply the blood on the doorposts and the mantle. And He said that as long as that blood was on the doorpost, that when the death angel passed, when he saw, when he saw the blood, he would pass over them. What was John the Baptist telling us? That through the blood of the Lamb, your sins can be removed. As far as the east is from the west. That when he saw the blood of Jesus applied to your heart, that he would pass over you. No condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because they have passed from death unto life. Praise God. I'm telling you this morning, we need the blood of Jesus. You need to behold the Lamb. You need to look at Him. Look to Him. If you don't look to Him, you'll never experience life. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now I want you to think about this. Here was, and there's a deep spiritual meaning to this, but the people of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, were bitten of snakes. And Moses, and they were dying. They were getting sick. They were dying. And Moses was instructed to take a piece of brass and make an image of a serpent, actually. And to lift it up on a pole. And he was told that if the people, if they would just look, they would live. Perhaps there were some of them, instead of looking, they were looking at themselves and they were saying, well, I'm too sick to look. Maybe some of them were disoriented. I'm too disoriented to look. Maybe there were some of them says, well, it's just a scratch. I'm not hurt bad enough to look. I'm telling you, all of us need to look to the Lamb.
Amen.
Quit focusing upon ourselves and focus upon the Lamb of God. Oh, that we would put our trust in Him. I was teaching here Wednesday night about how that the just must live by faith. Amen? Not only to get saved, but we continue to look to Him in faith as we are saved. Amen? The just shall live by faith. And this morning we need to keep trusting in the Lord. And that's what that means. Looking to the Lamb. John the Baptist was telling them to put their trust in Jesus. To rely upon Him. I still contend that if you get saved, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You must rely upon Him. You must trust in Him. We need to pour ourselves out like water upon the dirt and be absorbed in Jesus. That's what that word behold really means. This morning I'm calling as John the Baptist bid them to behold the Lamb of God. That's what I'm calling upon this congregation to do. It will take care of a lot of our problems if we just look to the Lamb. Oh, all the things around us will become very small because our Savior is very big. This Lamb is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This Lamb has all power in heaven and earth. He is not only the Lamb, He's the Shepherd of our souls. Amen. What was it that Peter said? He told us that he was the shepherd of the soul. Notice there in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said in verse 24, and I've already quoted this passage, how that he bears our sins in his own body upon the tree. And he goes on and says, For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. If you'll look to the Lamb, He'll take care of your life.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The only time Christians are really happy is when we're beholding the Lamb.
Amen.
The only time we really have genuine joy and happiness, it's when we're looking to Jesus. Oh, if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, this old world, let come what may. As the psalmist said in the 46th Psalm, though the mountains be picked up and cast into the sea, though the earth be shaken with a great swelling thereof, there is a river that flows from the throne of God that shall make glad the people of God, the city of God. Amen. I'm telling you, when we're looking to God for our help and our strength, when we're looking to Jesus Christ to cleanse us and keep us, we will be happy, joyful people, abounding in the blessings of the Lord. You want to abound in the blessings of the Lord? Anyone here this morning want to abound in the blessings of the Lord? Amen. Behold the Lamb. There's where our blessings flow. I bid you, in your trials, in your troubles, in your pains, in your sickness, in your chaos, in your disheartened, lackadaisical attitude, in your lethargic spirit, realize that you need the hope and the help of the Lamb. Look to Him for it. I appreciate your attention this morning. God bless you is my prayer. Let me tell you what happened to me. When I looked to Jesus to save me, I got saved that quick. I did. Now, I was a chronic seeker in a missionary Baptist church. Some of you may not know what that is. And I looked all around for help and for salvation. But the very moment I looked at Jesus, I was saved that quick. And some of you that are here this morning need to realize that unless you look to Jesus, you will not be saved. And I'm going to tell some of you Christians, you ought to know better. All right, but we are like sheep, as Peter said, a bunch of dumb domestic animals. And we have to have somebody guide us and lead us around all the time, keep us out of trouble. Jesus is the shepherd of the soul. I'm your under shepherd. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We get in trouble. We get to hurting. And too many times we go to the world. And I'll tell you what the world will do. It'll make you sicker.
Amen.
Oh, but when you go to the good shepherd, y'all know what I'm talking about? He will restore your soul. We're not in want of restoration because the good shepherd, He restoreth our soul. He'll lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil because He'll be right beside us. Amen? Yes, His rod and His staff will comfort us. You get out of fellowship with God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God will no longer work in your life. You won't get any comfort out of the rod and the staff, my friend. In order for us to get comfort from the Word of God, in order for us to feel that peace of the Holy Spirit, we must be close to the shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I want to encourage you. Revival starts Friday night. I want to encourage you to behold the Lamb. And I'm kind of like some of the older preachers. I'm not saying you've got to come up here and make a big display, but if you're out of God's will, you find you an altar somewhere and get this thing taken care of.
Amen.
Amen. Whether it's at home or at work, you got to go down to the park or find you, as they used to call it, goalies. Old preachers say you find you a goalie somewhere and you get in it. And you don't come out of it till you get it right. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I want us to march into this revival as an army of Jesus Christ. Not with all that sin that does so easily beset us. But I want us looking to Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. Looking to the Lamb of God. Man, and the blessings, they will come, won't they? Huh? Won't they? If we'll just behold the Lamb. As we stand and sing a verse of some song. If you're here this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.